are to be men of God.
Men's hearts have to be woken up.
As a father, my job is to make sure my children get to heaven.
I think the timing is absolutely right. I think that we're on the verge of an incredible renewal within our church.
Welcome to the King's Men, building up men in the mold of leader, protector, and provider.
I felt a real thirst to want to know about God.
Iron sharpens iron, men sharpen other men.
A part of man's natural calling is to protect society, to uphold the common good, to make a difference.
And now, here is your host, the co-founder and president of the King's Men, Mark Houck.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. Welcome once again to the King's Men, a program about authentic masculinity. I am Mark Houck, your host, with you second and fourth Friday of the month right here at Holy Spirit Radio. That's 1570 AM on your dial in Doylestown, PA area, and 1420 Chesterfield-Coatesville area. So it's such a blessing to be with you. Unfortunately, could not be with you live on this Friday, May the 26th. We had to pre-record this program, so there will be no call-ins, there will be no ability to do such. We're going to be recording it a couple days in advance. Here we are in the studios this Wednesday before the Friday the 26th, but have a great guest with me. Elliot's going to be joining me. He's a representative of the Courage Apostolate, and we're going to be talking about the Courage Sports Camp, which I will be at when this program airs, teaching, coaching softball. So we're going to talk about the sports camp, what it is, why it's so important and needed in our culture today, and how it's helping many, many men. I've been a part of the program for the past 13 years. You may not be familiar with it, but it's been coming to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia the past few years. Locally, it's been in the Princeton area, and it's in the Allentown area. But this Courage Sports Camp is an annual event which brings men from all over the world, literally all over the world in the church, to come and experience a sports camp. And what does that mean? And what does that mean for their lives? We'll get into on this program today. So we're going to be talking about the issue of same-sex attraction and the wounds that are there that are, for some, the origin has been the athletic sports wound. So we're going to talk about how sports camp addresses that and how Courage is a part of sponsoring this wonderful program for men. And my guest, Elliot's been a part of it since the very beginning, and he's going to be talking about it, and we're going to ask some good questions for him. But before we dive into that, let's coat this program in prayer. And as you know, we often invoke St. Augustine, and I have wonderful news for you that I just found out last week that my newest addition to the family that is in utero currently is going to be a boy, and his name is going to be Augustine. So a very special name for me and of course, my family. And he'll be young Augustine William, and he'll be joining us in October this year. God willing, all will go well, and delivery will be safe. But we call upon St. Augustine's intercession, and we'll just invoke Our Lady's protection on this program, because she truly is the weapon in God's hand for us. She gave us the rosary, Dominic. St. Dominic, and truly through Mary's intercession, we can crush the head of the serpent, Satan. And so when we're talking about issues like same-sex attraction and the like, transgender issues, all the things that you can think of in this culture today, boy, there's a lot of demonic influence in some of that. Not saying that the people are demonic, not at all, but the influence is there in some respect. And we really need to call upon Mary to guide us, because those that are trapped with addictions and stuff like that, it can be very demonic. I was addicted to pornography for a number of years, and the devil, he wants that. He wants to accuse us of being unlovable, and he wants to accuse us of being unworthy and confuse us. And I was very confused for a number of years. And so when you talk about this issue of same-sex attraction, you know, there's a lot of confusion there, and there's wonderful light just piercing the darkness in the culture today. This sports camp that we're talking about really is a light in the midst of all this confusion and chaos. And these men come together to grow in holiness, to grow in virtue, and to really heal some of the past wounds and the demons, if we can say that word loosely, the demons of their past, which whether it was in high school or grade school or in their youth, where they really felt that they were hurt by their peer group or by someone who was an athlete, perhaps. And this is a chance to come forward and to really bring grace into the midst of that wound and bring a real healing balm, salve, if you will, to that wound and help these guys move forward with confidence and joy in the knowledge that they are a man and that you don't have to be a great athlete to be a man. But you really have to understand that, you know, this is the company of men that we keep today is often in the realm of sports. And so we want to help these men grow to a greater understanding of how that can benefit their lives. And so let's ask Our Lady, as I've been saying, to really help us and pray for these men that will be coming here this weekend from all around the world, that will pray for them and help them to really have courage, borrowing from that namesake, to courage to really to step out in an uncomfortable area, to step out of their space that is safe for them, and to really enter into that unknown, to try once again to be among the boys and to play sports. It can be a real fearful thing. And so we ask Mary for courage, and we pray together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we ask St. Philip Neri, the feast day of the airing of this program, to pray for the men as well. St. Augustine to pray for them. St. Joseph to pray for them. And so we begin our program in prayer. Elliot, my guest, calling in today from Orlando, Florida. Elliot, thanks again for joining me on the program.
Well, thanks so much, Mark, for having me, and congratulations on Augustine. We'll look forward to hearing from him sometime.
Wouldn't that be great? Yeah, number six, and yeah. The third boy of in the litter. Three girls, and my son, my eldest, is very happy to have equality, and everyone is all. We have everybody accounted for in his mind. So thanks for that. Those words of encouragement. So as we begin, Elliot, tell us a little bit about Courage, the Courage Apostolate, and how this sports camp, boy, how did it evolve? I mean, it wasn't around when Father Harvey started Courage, so tell us a little bit about Courage Apostolate, for one, for those that don't know, and then how this sports camp emerged.
Sure, and, you know, Courage has really been a blessing, and as you alluded to earlier, really a light to the world, to give example of how can one live one's life in accordance with the Catholic Church's teaching on homosexuality, which primarily says that we're called to a chaste life. Not like any other, you know, person that is called to a chaste life. If you're not married, you certainly are. And so Courage, I think, was in response to the condition of same-sex attraction, the Holy Spirit inspiring Father Benedict Rochelle early on through in the New York, it actually started in the Archdiocese of New York, at the prompting of Cardinal Terence Cook, ultimately to be founded officially by Father John Harvey of happy memory. And so really, the program came about because what should the Church's response be to people that struggle with same-sex attraction, and how should they live their lives? And so there were five goals of Courage, and really, the whole idea of sports camp came about nearly 18 years ago, or I should say around 18, almost 18 plus years ago, by members that had been going to Courage meetings, because, you know, Courage has usually weekly meetings where men get together and they share about their struggles, and they pray, and they work towards these five goals. And so the men said, well, you know, how should we do that? We've been going to meetings, and you can keep going to meetings and talking, and is that really the right way to, you know, meet other men, to have friendships with other men? What are other things that you can do? What do men do in general? You know, do we go to bars? You know, and you know, you certainly have we all know about the gay bar scene, and many of us have been there and experienced that, but what do men do? And it was concluded that, well, men play sports. It's one of the things that they do. They do many things. Obviously, you know, that some men are more intellectual, some are into the arts. But a common thread in relating to men is playing sports. They said, let's get together and let's see how we can do a weekend of sports to address the five goals of Courage. And so the first goal is to live chaste lives. So the men that come to sports camp, you know, have to sign a rule of conduct, and so you pledge to live a chaste life just within the space of that weekend. The second goal is to dedicate your life to service, reading, and meditation, frequent mass, and the reception of the Holy Eucharist and reconciliation. Well, that's all embedded in the sports camp program. To foster a spirit of fellowship and share that you don't have to face the struggles of homosexuality alone. And so there you are with other men, you know, in the same struggle, and there's even a courage meeting embedded into the program. The fourth goal of courage is talks about chaste friendships that are possible, but even necessary. And so how do you form and sustain those? And so in going to sports camp, it's not just a one-hour meeting. It's a 48 hours and more, 48-plus hours of working with other men, getting to know other men in the context of playing sports. And so you can learn about chaste friendships and how important they are by talking about them with each other and then developing them with your teammates. And then finally, the fifth goal, which is to live lives that are a good example. And, you know, what more of a good example in saying these guys who have same-sex attraction, they're getting together, and they're experiencing intimacy, they're experiencing fellowship, they're experiencing all of these good things, and living a chaste life all at the same time. So that's really kind of the genesis of courage and sort of how sports camp came about.
Wonderful. So when was Courage officially founded by Father John Harvey?
I'm sorry, you said when?
Yeah, when was Courage, the Courage Apostle, officially founded, if you will?
Oh, that's a good question, and I don't have the answer to that. I'll have to get back to that.
I was just curious as to how long. You said 18 years, the sports camp. I was just wondering, long after the founding did this sports camp come about there about?
It goes back even probably 15 years prior to that.
Wow.
So it's been around a good 30, 40 years at this point.
So this sports camp really emerged after men, you know, were walking the steps of the Courage Apostolate, you know, were doing the five goals, and it's you know, it really, there was some boots on the ground, for lack of a better way of putting it, and men that were bearing fruit in their life wanted to go deeper, it appears, and wanted to go examine some of these things that they were learning about themselves that may be the attraction that, as you've explained to me before, and we'll get into it on this program, kind of got eroticized in their teenage years and kind of set things off track for them a little bit. We'll get into that a little bit this program. But no, I'm for my own curiosity, I wanted to see how much time had passed. I think that's really interesting that it's going on 18 years now, which is fantastic. So let's dive in, Elliot, if we could, talking a little bit about the program itself, the mission of sports camp. What you talked about the goals of Courage, but not everybody has a sports wound or struggles with body image. Some of the origins of same-sex attraction, as I've learned. So what is the main mission? What's the goal? What's the hope of these men who will come to the seminary this weekend? What's the hope for them as they depart on Sunday?
That's a great question. Yeah, the hope is that they can really learn to relate to another man in a way that they have not before. If you've never, and most of the men haven't played sports, a lot of them have. And so when we talk about trying to relate to other men, you know, in an intimate way, you know, what is a way to do that, number one? And number two, to kind of challenge them and us to do something in a way that they've not done before. And so if you were, you know, kind of shy and you never accomplished, you know, something physical, you know, it can be very intimidating to go into a game of sports. But that example could also apply to anything else in life, you know, at work. If you're always sitting in the, you know, with your office peers, let's say if you have an office job and everyone's talking and bantering about back and forth, and you're so afraid, you know, to kind of fit in with them because you're afraid that someone's going to make fun of your comment, you know, make fun of what you would like to propose, you might be more inclined and shy to say anything. So going through, you know, the sports camp experience and experiencing sports, if you haven't experienced them for the first time, you finally learn, oh, it's okay for me to to speak up. It's okay for me to compete on a team or to be on a team and not to be made fun of, because in sports camp, if you make a mistake, it's important that you laugh at your mistake and people, that your brothers pick you up. They don't laugh at you. They support you. And again, if you've never, experienced, I've learned in my own life, relating to other men, there's a nonverbal way of being physically intimate. And it doesn't involve, being erotic. It's just being present, with the other person. And in sports, you're doing that, So if the quarterback is looking over, to you and with an eager eye, and you're looking back, you're connecting, And so it's a whole nother way of relating that I found, that is on a much different level, and even a deeper level, I think, in certain senses, that you could do in a bar scene or something like that. So again, so the goal to have men to relate to other men and to learn from that experience and apply that to, their experience in daily life. I think that's really what the goal, the mission of it is. And as I said before, really to live those goals of courage, in a real time experience.
Yeah, it's powerful. I've been involved. I was counting it up on my fingers. In 2004, I was informed of the Courage Sports Camp, and I think 2005, the summer, I actually got fully engaged at your prompting and others to really, coach and be a part of the experience for the guys. Having been a former athlete myself, I really enjoy teaching the men how to do things that I think a lot of us as men take for granted, that we've had the proper mentoring or a big brother or a father or somebody there to kind of, teach these things, introduce them to us. And we take it for granted that there are men out there that haven't had that proper instruction. And therefore, when they entered into that world as a young boy, felt very inadequate or very awkward. Can you describe for us a little bit about that sports wound and what that looks like? We kind of say it generically, here, you and I, and we kind of know what we're talking about. But the person who's listening for the first time, well, what is a sports wound? Can you qualify that for me?
Sure, and let me just backtrack a little bit,
sure,
Mark, and tell you that, when you had mentioned it at my prompting, you came to sports camp, and it really was one of the mothers.
That's right.
Of one of our members who knew you, and she said, you should call this guy. And my first reaction, again, because of my experience in growing up, was I'm not going to call a jock. I'm not going to call a straight jock. He's a cool guy, and I'm a nerd. I mean, that's just subconsciously what was going on in my head. And so I was reluctant to do that, but I knew that it was the right thing to do. And now, after all of these years, I feel extremely comfortable talking to you. So you can see a direct fruit of, working through my own issues with courage and through sports camp and having to talk to this cool jock guy. And I say that,
sure,
kind of tongue in cheek, because I know who you are. I know the depth that you have, underneath you. But yet now I feel that I can talk to you freely, And where does that come from? I've told my friends before, when I was growing up, I was always on the purple team or the green team, playing basketball in parochial school. And what being on the purple team or the green team meant that you were the worst of the worst, so the ones that couldn't, throw a ball in to save their lives, they were on those teams. So there I was in my little white gym shorts and tank top, skinny as a rail, and I just couldn't do it. When I was on the ball field, I played in minor league. I never made it, to little league. I only made it to minor league. And my biggest memory of minor league is throwing catch to practice catching the ball, and the ball hitting me in the mouth, and I got a big fat lip. And so there, my baseball career was over. So having that experience and then going on to playing with the boys in the neighborhood and always getting picked last, was very discouraging. And so I obviously became very ambivalent to baseball and basketball because I couldn't do it, and I was afraid of it. I was afraid of getting hit in the face. I was afraid of getting teased and all of that stuff. And so then, therefore, anything that had to do with sports, I completely, turned it off. I remember one time my brother then, you know, made it to minor league, and we went to the local community playground, and my brother came running up to the pavilion, and he found me, and he said, "Would you please be umpire?" They didn't have an umpire. And of course I, you know, recoiled in terror, because, you know, that means I would have to stand behind the plate and, you know, and say whether it was a foul ball or a strike. And there was no way I was going to do that, you know. And so what could have been natural for a big brother to help out his young brother, I was only crippled, you know, by my earlier experience, and I couldn't even help him out. And I basically, you know, ran away and kind of had my hid my head in the sand, if you were. And so, you know, that's my own story of my own sports wound. I didn't have my father there, wasn't there mentoring me. I didn't have an older brother, and there was no other men in my life to show me how to throw a ball. I mean, later on in life, I learned that I actually had that aptitude, but early on, I didn't. And so then I lost, you know, what was so common in, you know, with boys, baseball cards, you know, talking about football games, going to you know, a high school, a peewee football game. I was not, absolutely not interested in it. I found other pursuits, but I missed out on that whole part of growing up, and it became a, you know, rather than a source of fellowship and camaraderie, as it often, so often is, it became a source of anxiety for me. So you could say, you know, that's sort of my own sports wound. And I had to overcome that, and it took a lot of years to overcome that.
Wow. Well, you qualified it. You gave us the picture. You gave us the story. And the bonding that you allude to that takes place among boys is so healthy. Although I should say it could be very disordered at times, too. And I think it's disordered that we put kids on purple teams and green teams. And, you know, we used to call it the B team. It was either the A team or the B team. And I really struggle with that even as a coach today, that, you know, that we do this to boys, and we need to you know, bring all the boys in with all different skill levels and allow the boys to mentor the boys and allow a coach to father all the boys. And unfortunately, that things aren't being done like that. And the sports camp is really an answer to a lot of guys who have your story, but also even worse experiences with sports, more traumatizing, if you know, I've heard. And so you see the pain. You keep alluding to the word, you keep saying intimate with men and intimacy. I think it's a good word, and I think it's misunderstood in our culture. Qualify the word intimate with men in the setting that you're talking about, because obviously people could take that and twist that word. What are we really talking about when we say that?
Sure. That's a great question, Mark. You know, on the surface, you know, we're thinking, you know, there's this whole movement of men cuddling together. And is that, and even straight men doing that, you know, there's like meetup groups and all that. And that's just a little, just a bit bizarre, and that's not at all what we're referring to with intimacy. I think what intimacy means, it's the same intimacy that Christ had with the Father in heaven. And the apostles, you know, to them, the Jewish Father was everything. And so, you know, Christ would always say, the Father and I are one. You know, and every time they said, show us the Father, and he was just completely perplexed, because he's like, you've seen me. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so there was such a great bond between, you know, Jesus Christ and his Father. And guess what? His Father was in heaven and he was on earth. But yet that intimacy was completely there. Come down, back down to earth into the human condition, and look at the bond between a father and a son.
Mm.
And you know this, Mark, you know, as a parent, that your children, you know, are, they look to you as a God, and, you know, and rightly
sure.
So. And if you're a good father, you will be a servant father, but you're going to be completely with them. And so you're going to feel their pain when they're sick. You're going to want to mentor them in school. You're going to want to help them in sports. But there's going to be such a connection that is way beyond the physical connection, and far more important than the physical connection, although the physical connection can just simply be, you know, an expression of what's going on underneath. And rightly ordered, you know, it can be a hug, and it can be a pat on the back, and it can be, you know, holding of the hands and things like that. And it's different, you know, between a father and a daughter, perhaps, and a father and his own son. But yet, the connection is there, and the connection says to the son, "I am with you, I love you, I accept you." And we see that, you know, when Christ was baptized in the Jordan River, and he said, "This is my son, with whom I am well pleased." So, you know, if there are two men with same-sex attraction, they want to have that acceptance of the other. Everyone craves that. Nobody wants to be rejected. Even you know, straight men don't want to be rejected by their peers. They want to be on the same team. And that means that I'm accepted by you. I am the same as you. You know, from the looks of my body, even though we might be different, we're the same. You know, we're one. We're together. We think the same. We run in the pack. And we're loved by, you know, our coaches. We're loved by our fathers. And so that intimacy is an expression of unity, you know, between the father and the son, between peers, between brothers. That's why we call ourselves brothers. When that's ruptured, you know, and you see the tragic cases of bullying that's in our society, it really wounds that person because it says, "I reject you. I don't accept you. I don't love you. You are not the same as me." And so, again, the concept of intimacy is really one of unity, and it's so important not only for men that have same-sex attraction, but for all men, you know, to understand what intimacy and unity is in its right-ordered sense. And so that's what I would say is really critical, because it's really an expression of love, of Christian charity between two persons, and whatever their relationship is or ought to be between them, whether it's a coach, you know, and an athlete, a father and a son, or between two men, you know, two brothers.
Beautiful. If you're just tuning in, we're talking today with Elliot, who's a member of the Courage Apostolate, and we're talking about the Courage Sports Camp, which is taking place this weekend. In fact, this is a pre-recorded program whereby I will be a part of this weekend to help the brothers, as we're talking about, grow into greater awareness of sports and its value to them in their lives, but also the fellowship and the bonding and the intimacy, the true intimacy that comes when, in a healthy way, between a coach and a player or a teammate, this pat on the back, I don't know what the word is, but the team environment of sports can be so life-giving. You're goofing around with the brothers, you're having fun, you're needling one another. It's all very positive and healthy, and in the right setting can really produce great effects in a man's life and build him up in a very positive way. And these men are coming together all around the country this weekend for the Courage Sports Camp, and my guest Elliot has been kind of expounding a little bit on the need for this. And so keep us in prayer as you hear this program. We're going to take a short break right now. We'll come right back with Elliot. We'll be talking more about the origins of same-sex attraction, sports wound, and the like, and getting into different things and success stories of men who've come to Courage Sports Camp over the years and what it's done for their lives. So when we come back, we'll talk with Elliot more about success story. He's alluded to his own success in his life, but even more how that has played out in his career and his relationships. Very important to find those things out. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
My dear sisters in Christ, are you in need of healing? Are you suffering in silence about your current or past trauma? Then it's time to seek some healing from the Divine Physician. Hi, I'm Mark Hauck, founder of the Judith Healing Retreat for Women, and I invite you to join your fellow sisters in Christ in seeking healing for your pain. Join our dynamic Judith leader team for a weekend like no other. Nestled at the cozy and comfortable Fatima House in Bucks County, the Judith Retreat is a unique experience that is designed to gently bring women to a place of hope and lasting peace. drawing on the seven sorrows of Mary and the Old Testament heroine Judith, women will be brought through a four-day, three-night journey that has proven to provide healing in the lives of women of all ages. If this sounds like something you could benefit from, then I invite you to visit judithretreat.com to learn more.
Do you want to have your business get noticed? Do you want to support and evangelize your faith? Underwriting Holy Spirit Radio is a great way to accomplish each of these. Holy Spirit Radio is a listener-supported nonprofit foundation. Join with other faith-filled businesses like yours. Business sponsorships start as low as $300 per month. Learn more at holyspiritradio.org, call us at 215-345-1570, or email frank@holyspiritradio.org.
I'm Gary Zimak, host of Spirit in the Morning, and I have great news for you. Tradition, a celebration of the 25th anniversary of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, sponsored by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, is coming to the Sheraton Philadelphia Downtown Hotel on Monday, June the 19th. Scheduled to appear, Archbishop Charles Chaput, Jeff Caven, Scott Hahn, Mother Assumpta Long, Matthew Bunsen, Deborah Savage, and Jonathan Reyes. For more information or to register, visit PhillyOCF.org.
Welcome back to the King's Men. My name is Mark Houck, your host. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about Courage Sports Camp. We're talking about the Courage Apostolate. We're talking about the issue of same-sex attraction, and this is a pre-recorded program. There will be no calls, and we are talking with my guest, Elliot, who is someone who's been a part of the Courage Sports Camp, I think, from the beginning, right? You were there in the beginning, Elliot?
Well, nearly in the beginning. I think I might have missed the first couple of years because I was living out of not anywhere near New York area, and eventually I moved closer, and so I started going, but nearly from the beginning, yes.
Great, and I've been a part of Courage Sports Camp for the last 14 years as a coach. I always say to the guys, it's one of the highlights of my year, and anything I've ever accomplished athletically, it really pales into comparison into the gift that this is to me, and the remembrance of the men and the role I've played in their lives. So I'll be blessed to be at the sports camp this weekend. If you want more information about Courage Sports Camp, they can go where?
To the Courage website, and there will be a link to direct you where to who to inquire to, and they'll give you all the information. And, you know, I know it's kind of late in the day, and we're almost at the weekend. It's beginning tomorrow night. But, you know, hey, we always have room for more. So don't even hesitate. We'd love to have you.
What's the website for Courage?
It's www.couragerc.org.
Great. Yeah, it used to be .net. Now they got the .org, so that's great. Couragerc.org. You'll learn more about Courage Sports Camp. I've been doing it for 14 years, as I said, and the experience is phenomenal in my life, both as coach and to experience the guys and their brotherhood and the camaraderie. I think that was the word I was searching for earlier. The camaraderie that takes place is truly life-giving for me, and I know for the men. And like I said, this is what I'm most proud of when it comes to anything I've done athletically is really being affiliated with this program. So let's dive in a little bit further. Talk about some of the experience. Talk about some of the sports that the guys will be experiencing and why you maybe chose those sports.
Sure. So on Friday, we start with softball, and you know, it's about almost an hour's worth of training. And I should say, you know, it's important to note that we do have, you know, coaches such as yourself and some support staff, you know, helping the guys so that even if you've never played softball before or any of the other sports that we play, that you get a good sense of kind of the basics so that you can participate. And the other goal, and I guess I didn't really mention this earlier, but, you know, if you learn how to play softball, maybe you'd be more inclined to join in at a family picnic than if you haven't, you know. So this also moves you in that direction. But in any event, so on Friday morning, we'll play softball. It's one of the easier of the sports. and it helps the men get their confidence up, get the teams organized. The teams have captains selected from the members. And again, about an hour's worth of training, exercises, practice, and then followed by an hour game. And then we have a nice lunch, and then in the afternoon, we're going to play flag football, which happens to be one of my personal favorites. And again, an hour's worth of training and going through some routes. And it's always fun, Mark, because your experience from your former life gives a lot of insight and interest into you know how professional sports are played, which maybe some of the men have never had before. And you know, when you start playing sports, you're inclined to watch them on TV, and I know that can be a vice too. But you know, you have to really experience something to be really interested in it, and then that can lead you to conversations with other men. You know, when you start watching and start learning about the teams. But in any event, so then you have football. Very integral to the sports camp program is the spiritual life, and there are opportunities for the Sacrament of Reconciliation every single day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There will be a courage meeting on Friday evening. There will be Mass every day, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and there will also be a holy hour on Saturday. So because, you know, man is not a one-dimensional person, we're of the flesh and we're of the spirit, we bring that all together in the weekend. And it also says sometimes I think, you know, we can look at the spiritual life being sort of overly pious. And I think piety has its place, but it needs to be integrated into the human person. And so it's perfectly cool for, you know, football players to hold hands and on their knees pray before a game. You know, and so you don't have to be some sort of, overtly religious person to experience deep spirituality, and so it should be integrated and harmonized into all our lives. And so we kind of do that. We pray before all of the games as well. And then the other two games on Saturday in the morning are soccer and basketball. So and they were selected. You know, we had toyed with the idea of soccer off and on, and since we had literally guys coming from Mexico who may have had a sports wound there, we thought, well, we really ought to incorporate, you know, the game of soccer for those guys, so that when they go back home, or maybe they have a kid, you know, who is who they would want to mentor in soccer. So it's good for them to begin to learn how to play it. So that was added, and has been a staple, you know, for quite a number of years. And basketball, also a game that I like, I think is important because, you know, years ago I told you about the purple and the green team that I was on. When I was just starting out my career, I was working in the office, and one of my office mates said, hey, let's play basketball. And I looked at him and I said, that's not going to happen with me. And he said, come on. And it was a nice guy. And he took me outside, and outside the office there was a basketball hoop. And he started training me on how to play basketball. And within 6 months, we were playing pickup games. And so, you know, I went from being on the purple team to playing pickup games because a very nice, you know, coworker of mine mentored me into playing basketball. And then I went on to playing it, you know, years later after the help of sports camp, you know, in my own office settings, and it was just a lot of fun. And so I discovered that I had the aptitude to play basketball. And again, when you're playing basketball for, you know, with your coworkers before work or after work or whatever, I mean, none of them are professional basketball players. I learned that. And they just want you to be there with them. And so, again, you know, it became for me another way, you know, to relate to my coworkers and earn a degree of not just respect, but really acceptance. You know, like, it's okay. You know, Daryl's with us, and even if he didn't score any hoops today, you know, he just came out there to be with us. And that's just part of the game of life, is just being there. Mm. And so, again, with all of these sports, you know, we just want everyone to be present.
Yeah, amen. And I thank you for outlining a little bit of the schedule. It's beautiful. And I see my own son, who he's the oldest in the family. He's 8 years old. And, boy, he just loves being a part of the team. You know, he may not be the best player on the team. He's got a little bit of swagger with certain things that he can do better than others. But most times he's not really the best player, which is totally fine. We just encourage him to stay engaged and stay involved because he enjoys so much the camaraderie, the team, the just being there with the guys and the other boys is so life-giving. So, and you shared that, and you shared your own success. How many guys over the course of the past 18 years have come to Courage Sports Camp? Do you have a number there?
You know, I don't have an exact number, but, you know, we in the early years were in the teens. We went up, there were certain years we were in the 30s that would come per event, and this year we're almost near 30, we're 28. I'd have to guess that between 300 and 400 have come through the program.
Wow, wonderful.
So, it's not thousands, but, I mean, that's pretty good.
No, that's darn good. That's great. 300 to 400 guys, so a lot of different life experiences and stories are there. Can you pull out a few, maybe a recent memory or maybe a long-term memory of success stories where guys have come to sports camp, have experienced something profound for themselves, came back and applied it, or it propelled them in a certain area of their life, or maybe they joined a league, or anything like that that can kind of share a little bit about the glory of this experience, that how it's transformative in some respects to these men's lives?
Sure, every year, you know, there's always, it's been very rare if someone has attended sports camp and not had a great experience. More often than not, it's been a really good experience, and we encourage them to write about it, and we we'll put the testimonies on the website so that you can read about them. But there was a guy who actually went through sports camp and later went on to join a softball league, you know, and he'll talk about it. You know, there's a difference between, you know, playing a sports camp and then having the courage to go out and play in an organized league. And he did it, you know, he actually did it. And so I think there was an example of someone who actually took the benefit of playing sports, you know, and used it, you know, kind of like I did, you know, playing with my coworkers. There was another guy, and, you know, every year we have what's called the Most Improved Player Award, an MIP award. Mm-hmm. And because so many of the men that come have different experiences, and we look for that, you know, as they're playing out there, whether it's a change in attitude or an actual, you know, change in how they actually can play the sport. We encourage the guys into stepping into leadership roles by asking them to become captains. And there was one year, one of the men, and that's often falls upon me. I'm on the leadership team, and I have to recruit the captains. And you'll call them up, and if they've never done it before, they can be petrified of it, you know.
Right.
I don't know the sport. I'm not, you know, how do you guide the guys? You know, how do you be a leader? And so one of the guys, you know, he wrote a beautiful testimony of how it really changed his whole attitude, you know, after having been made a captain and then having, you know, succeeded. And even to the point of, you know, feeling more confident, if you will, as a father and a husband. You know,
wow.
It just really, really profoundly impacted his life. There was another guy who is now one of the leaders. When he came to his first sports camp, he it was the same thing. He was just afraid to even play. You know, and all of those anxieties, and you know, that were present, and slowly he wrote it away, and now he's, you know, one of the leaders and very confident in leading, you know, the program. So, as I said, and then there's others that come closer to the faith. I've seen that as well. You know, when you're in the, again, when you're spending those 4 days, you know, with a group, you know, with a close group of guys, with three chaplains, we're going to have three chaplains this year, and you share your faith experiences, it has literally impacted other lives, and I've seen it. I've seen guys come closer to the faith.
Wow.
So, really, it's just been and the proof's in the pudding. You know, if it weren't doing that, it wouldn't be worth doing. You know?
Right. Praise God. Well, those are wonderful glory stories, as we like to say. And if you're just tuning in today, I'm talking today with Elliot, and we're talking about sports camp, which is taking place this weekend. And this program is a pre-recorded program, and I will be at sports camp while this program is airing. And we'll be talking for the remainder of the program about, you know, how guys can benefit from something like this. How do you get in touch with somebody who may need something like this? What's the best way of reaching out to them? It can be a very difficult thing to kind of go back to the place of the wound, but it's certainly the place of the healing. As we know, it's the work of the Kingsmen. Place of the wound is the place of the healing. So We'll get into that a little bit, but if you're just tuning in, it's a pre-recorded program. My guest today, Elliot, talking about Courage Sports Camp. And in the last 10 minutes or so, we want to talk about how to best engage family members who may need something like this. Members in our lives, people in our lives, rather, who are, in need of healing. This is something that is healing, is it not? Is that not part of the goal of this Courage Sports Camp?
It is, yeah, because, if there were a case of where someone was bullied, in their youth, even within the context of playing sports, it needs to be healed. We're in the gym, in the shower. There's all of those things that how do you reconcile those experiences and say that sports they're not a bad thing. It can be a good thing. Or men. And so I think one of the nicest thing about having the coaches and they're all straight coaches is if someone had a wound between with their father who didn't mentor them, as was in my case, or a coach who was overly zealous, wanting someone to win and then putting them on the purple team rather than encouraging them to participate. When you have good men like yourself and the other coaches and assistants that are there, it can really bridge that gap. It can really, heal that relationship. You're going through the physical motions of sports, but, when someone falls down or doesn't catch a ball and the look is, that's okay, get up again, which is what you would tell your own son, there's healing in that, if you've never won a medal, there are medals to be won in the event. And I've seen it, and it sometimes really gets to your heart when you watch a medal being put on someone that never won a game in their life. Now they've won something. It covers a whole host of wounds. And what it's saying again is, I love you. You are my beloved son. I'm pleased with you. Congratulations. And it covers over, it's the blood of Christ, if you will, covering over that wound and healing it.
Absolutely. God knows that we're hurt in relationship, and he allows us to heal in relationship. And so this Courage Sports Camp is another means of God really helping us, helping his children. Let's talk about how we would reach out to someone who might need this weekend. This program will air, and maybe someone will hear it post the weekend and maybe want to come, but say, I got somebody in mind who could benefit from this. So what would you suggest, Elliot, the best means to get someone to even consider? Obviously, you gave the website, couragerc.org. That's a good place. But as you begin to talk about these things and I guess it's trial and error maybe for some, but best practices, give us some thoughts.
It's like anything else that it's important, I think, to have a relationship with someone. We can see sports camp or even the Courage Apostolate as something that you should do, but when you say you should do this, you're not really connected with that person. So the first thing that I think has to happen is there has to be a level of trust between two people, whether it's, yourself and someone that or a family member, and their kids, or between a man that's in courage and a guy that's not there yet. And that comes through an authentic relationship, through an authentic friendship. And so once that level of trust is, and there's an authentic, friendship there, then one can invite. So it's always an invitation rather than saying, this is something you should do. This is more, it should be more like, hey, come join me at this. This is really cool. Or I've heard that there's this group over there that is really neat. What do you think? Something like that. Something that's not a you should do, but something that's really an invitation. But again, it always comes through a one-on-one, someone that and it always works the best. And that's what we do, because we want to have more guys coming all the time. And the best way to get them to come is to begin that relationship. And then they keep coming. I mean, we've had guys that have been coming, like myself, for 14, 15 years. And I have friends there now that are going on 14, 15 years. And so, and it was through that initial contact. And in my own case, it was another Courage member. that I trusted, you know, and I knew. And I was a little nervous at first, but he invited me. And because it was an invitation and I trusted and knew him, then I came. And so that'd be my advice.
Good counsel. Okay, so you've been doing this for 14, 15 years. I feel like it's longer than that because this is my 14th year, and I know you were engaged, but probably 15 on that side of things. So tell us, if I'm listening and I'm just, well, gosh, if it's a sports camp, it's meant to heal me, why do I have to keep coming back? Why do you keep coming back? What? Obviously, you're a leader. We get that. But what do you get something out of it every year? Or what does it do for you? Why do you keep coming back?
Yeah, I do get something out of it every year. And it's at many different levels. You know, I slightly injured my foot, and I hope that's not going to impact me playing this weekend, Mark. But that was sort of devastating to me, like thinking, oh, my goodness, I can't play this year. And so now that this has sort of become an annual event, it's like I don't want to miss it, you know, because I'm going to see many of my friends there. So there's something literally in it for me to renew those old friendships, you know, once a year, to spend one whole weekend not doing things by myself, you know, but with a whole company of men that I know and respect. Having that quiet time with our Lord in prayer. But the other reason that I like to come back too, and one of the goals of Courage is to be a man of service. And since I, you know, have been doing this for so often, I'm helping the other men do it. And I just really, really appreciate it, you know, seeing new guys come there for the first time and helping them, you know, in little ways, whether it's just a warm hello and a greeting when they come there. You know, you can impact other people's lives, and it doesn't have to be in a dramatic way. It's, again, just a way of saying, you know, welcome. You know, you're welcome here. How can I help you? And then watching them grow in the course of the weekend, I mean, it's really something to take delight in, you know, for any of us that are in leadership roles, because, you know, we're serving the people and we're watching them grow. And I think I'm called to that. I think we're all called to be of service. I think so often we get sort of wrapped up in our own troubles and our own life and our own sorrows. This is one chance for me to get outside of myself, not think of myself, but look to the other guys, look to my brothers, look to the younger guys or the less experienced guys, and give of myself for a weekend, which is what I'm called to do. I'm called to be an apostle. You know, I'm called to serve.
Wow. So what you just described there is this is your own band of brothers, and getting together with them once a year is life-giving for you, and you're able to serve and use your gifts and talents to bring others to what you've discovered for yourself through Courage Sports Camp. And I'm simply delighted to be a part of it. As I said, it's one of my highlights of my year. And I'm thankful every year that you guys invite me back. So please keep us in prayer, audience, today. We will be at the sports camp when this program airs, and we ask for your prayers, for courage, for humility, for all the things that we need as we enter into the arena of sports. There's so many things that go into it for the leadership team, for the Courage Apostolate in general, so important that we have your prayers. As we wrap up, Elliot, maybe final thoughts, encouragement, words of wisdom that you've gleaned from the last 15 years being with the guys at the sports camp. If anyone's on the fence, maybe they want to come. I know it's going to be Friday, so you know certainly the retreat will already have begun. But perhaps next year, if someone's sitting on the fence, you know, what would you say to them if they say, oh, I don't think that's for me?
I would say, come and see. And who said come and see? You know, so it's really an invitation from the Holy Spirit. And the word courage, you know, was given by the Holy Spirit to the apostolate. And you do have to have courage. And come to sports camp. Come to a courage meeting. Don't be afraid. And you will see maybe something different that you haven't seen in your life before. And that's just a good way to live our life. We can't live in fear. We have to confront our fears, and we have to face them. And what we'll find, I think, when we do that is you know, something much more. It's not as scary as you think, and it's much more rewarding than you can imagine.
Amen. And as one of the leaders always says, the field becomes your very own field of dreams. I think that's really cool. The website is couragerc.org. If you'd like to learn more about the sports camp, the annual sports camp, we look forward to doing more programs in the future on this apostolate, and my guest, Elliot, today. I thank you for your time and joining us, and safe travels on the way to sports camp, okay?
Okay, it was really my pleasure to speak with you, Mark, and again, we're very grateful to have you and look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Excellent. Look forward to it myself. As we close, we just ask you to keep us in prayer once again, and then tune in the second week of June when we have our next program. Not sure what the theme will be, but you can always catch these programs on the archives at holyspiritradio.org. And I have been Mark Howe. Thanks for listening. God bless you.